If I may, on behalf of all of you, present this flower to the mother.
I bow to all the seekers of truth. I'm very thankful to Mr. Henry Zhang for addressing you and introducing me to you. That's very kind of him. It is one of the very rare occasions where I've seen people in authority have understood my work and have tried to help me. Whatever he said is really very remarkable, that all these greater people like Lao Tse, who started Taoism, Buddha, who was teaching Buddhism, all of them talked about the oneness of human being with the nature. And if you cannot combine nature with yourself, then you cannot be called as an evolved soul. In that thing I was telling him about Yangtze River, where he comes from the same state, Yangtze. That Yangtze River I've traveled through with my husband, and it's the one Lao Tse has used for describing a human ascent. It's a river which goes in different angles and makes lots of currents and is very dangerous to ply through that. But they are having now a tourist arrangement to go through that, and my husband, as he was in the maritime, they invited us to see that. So in that, the message was that you see, you are passing through a very beautiful land. You see across the banks beautiful trees and very beautiful mountains, which you see in the paintings of Chinese. They are really like that. But you should not get lost. You have to go further. You can watch all these beautiful scenes, sit down there, enjoy yourself, but still you have to go with the stream. And then you go further and further. He described it very well in his Tao. Tao means that it is. And it started showing such beautiful scenes sometimes that I really felt I should get out of the boat and sit down there. But he was meaning that in your meditation, when you are moving, you should not get tempted by these outward fascination of nature also, but you enjoy, be one with it, you just see it, enjoy it. And then he says that the river flows closer to the sea, that is the ultimate aim of the river, then she becomes absolutely silent and she spreads out, and then gradually she moves towards the sea. It's such a beautiful description. And I have seen it myself, and I can understand the poet, how he wanted to communicate that how the nature should teach us how to be meditative within ourselves. Buddha always talked about the central path, and also he always said that our character is the mainstay. If you don't have good character, then it is very difficult to ascend. These were the days when really this was the position. In India there were horrible, cruel kings. And then they were killing people for just for land or something. This was so much in India that Buddha, if he had not come, it would not have stopped. And gradually when the awakening came within them that this is something wrong they are doing, they should not kill human beings for just getting some land. What is the use of this thing? Ultimately, one king saw the blood flowing through one river and he got such a repentance about what he had done that he went to Buddha and told him that, "Sir, please save me. I am really very guilty about what I have been doing and I don't think I can live any longer with this guilt." So Buddha pacified him and he became a Buddhist. Now in Sahaj Yoga we have a way by which we become one with reality, one with this all-pervading power. So the first point is the truth is this, that you are not this body, this mind, or this ego, or your conditionings. But what you are a pure spirit, which is said by Christ, said by all these great prophets, everybody has said that. And then, second truth is that there is an all-pervading power of divine love. You see the flowers of Sydney, so beautiful, one better than the other. And see how they have grown. We never think that there is some miracle about them. It is a miracle the way they have grown out of the Mother Earth in such a beauty. After all, we cannot do that. Mother Earth has done it, and we take all those living works for granted. We don't even think who runs our heart. We don't even think who digests our food. What is that energy which does all these things, which controls our heights and everything else that is living? So there is a power of all-pervading love. And that is the one which really has created us. And that is the one which is going to give us our realization. This energy that is within us is what we call as the Kundalini, he must have told you about it, is the reflection of this all-pervading power, which is settled in our sacrum bone. Sacrum, as you know, is called sacred by the people who were Greeks. They were not Indians and they called it sacred bone. I asked the curator, "Why do you call it a sacrum?" He said, "We were told it's a sacred bone and there's the energy of the mother inside it." I was amazed that these Greeks knew about it. And it's so surprising that for ancient times we knew about in India about this energy that is within us. But somehow or other it was the tradition not to talk about it or give self-realization to people en masse. One teacher will have only one student, one guru will have one disciple, that's all. And he would just select out of thousands and give realization to one and tell him the secret of Kundalini. It was going on for ages together till the 12th century. There was a big poet, we had a very great poet who at the age of 31 years wrote tremendous secrets about spiritual life. I mean, it's unbelievable at this young age because he died after that. And then he is the one who wrote in his book after taking permission from his guru that this Kundalini is the one, she does all the job. But people who were in charge of Hindu religion at that time were just like priests everywhere. They said, this chapter is no good. This is nishith. We are not to deal with this. Not, it is to be avoided. So nobody paid attention to that fact. But in the 16th century, we had lots of poets in our country who have sang the praise of this Kundalini. Also in the Babel, there is that I will appear before you like tongues of flames. And these chakras look like that. Inside they are very mild tongues of flames. So all these things, though little bit described in the Bible, described in the Quran, everywhere, but there was no proper intelligible knowledge about Kundalini, I would say. Though in India they had, there was a kind of a, you can call, religious experiments, which were called as Nath Panthis. These people are the same who had only one disciple and one guru, sort of thing. But later on it just spread out. And we had lots of people in the 16th century who started talking about Kundalini and saying about it. So that's how we have this knowledge in that country of since long. But after the British came, it all became nonsense and nobody bothered for 300 years. And all this knowledge has gone into kind of a cupboard from where it never came out. Now, I knew about it myself, but I wanted to find out a method by which we could give realization en masse, not to one person. If you give to one person, everybody will get after him, or crucify him, or kill him, or give poison, or get out. Now the time also has come. This is the time that we say in the Bible is the judgment, the last judgment. But in Quran is very clearly written. See how all the truths are the same everywhere. The Quran, it is written that at this time, which they call Qiyamah, the resurrection time, your hands will speak and they will give witness against you. So actually when you get your realization, you start feeling the energy in your hand. And you can verify. You can verify what centers are catching. And it's tangible. As you know that in Delhi, there are three doctors who have already got MD for curing incurable diseases through Sahaja Yoga. Now for diagnosis, you don't have to go into that horrible, grueling experience of diagnosis. Just you can feel it on your fingertips. You can know what's wrong with you. And it's absolutely curable, I tell you frankly, that definitely people have been cured of blood cancers. They have been cured about 9-10 years back. They are still living and they're quite hale and hearty. We have seen that people who are suffering from all kinds of incurable diseases are cured. But they have to enter into a new state of awareness. That is what we call is this Sahaja Yoga state, where you become one with this divine power. Then this power starts flowing through you. Most of the world's problems, if you see, come from human beings, not from nature. More from human beings, and the nature reacts to it. Now, when you get these problems, you start running about here and there and trying to find out solutions. The solution is within our centers. When these centers are in jeopardy, you get all these physical, mental, emotional problems for yourself and for the whole society, for the whole world. So now, what should we do is to correct these centers. By the awakening of this Kundalini, which passes through six centers, these centers get enlightened, and that enlightenment cures them, nourishes them, and integrates them. Then you are completely one with this all-pervading power, and the connection becomes permanent. At that time, this energy starts flowing through you. You can feel it on your fingertips, and by that you develop all your potential powers, which are so many, so many, that in this small lecture I may not be able to tell you the whole. But some of them I will be able to tell you. That the first thing happens to you, that you achieve a state of peace. We are thinking of tomorrow or of yesterday, past and future, but present we are not there. Present is not known to us. And reality is in the present. So when you are thinking of the past and future, you are jumping on the cusp of those thoughts. In between these thoughts, there's a space, which we call as vilamba in Sanskrit. is the pause. And that is the time when you are in present, which is very short. And that's why you can never be in the present. So when the Kundalini rises, your attention is driven inside. And these thoughts expand in the sense that they elongate. And there's the space in between is quite big. Thus you establish yourself into a new state or a new dimension of your awareness, which we call as thoughtless awareness. That is the meditation. You cannot do meditation. You have to be in meditation. It's a state. Then there is no thought, but you are fully aware. Whatever you see is recorded like a picture in your mind. And such tremendous changes take place in human beings, they are surprised. Like very ordinary person who was playing once an instrument before me. I was very boring to begin with. And suddenly, I don't know what happened to him, his Kundalini was awakened and he was playing such beautiful music, and today he is a world famous man. There are many like that who have achieved this dynamic force of their talents. The first state has to be achieved. After that you become absolutely peaceful. And that peace gives you such a personality that you don't go on worrying things, or you don't go on falling a prey to this modern stuff that they call is a stress and strain. But you watch everything like a witness, like a drama. You start seeing everything like a drama. And when you see all that like a drama, then the reaction that you have, the responses you have is nil, just watching it. But your attention becomes so powerful that your attention solves the problem. It has the divine attention and it solves the problem. I've seen people solving their problems sitting down somewhere, working out somewhere. There are very powerful Sahaja Yogis in the world now, and I'm so very happy that this has happened to people, that they have felt their own energy and they have felt their own peace. The second state that you achieve, what we call, this is the thoughtless awareness, and the second one is called as the doubtless awareness. Patanjali in his yoga has said, called them as the Nirvichar Samadhi and Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Now these two states, if you are achieved, then all your powers, you know what you have. You know all your inner being. You know your chakras, and you know your all the three, say the autonomous nervous system, like parasympathetic, sympathetic systems, everything you know. And you know how to control them, how to improve them, how to work them out. So you become your own master. Firstly, when you are awakened, firstly what you get is all your talents. For example, I see Australians are great artists. I've seen people who have come to Sahaja Yoga become such deep artists and such beautiful artists, aesthetically so rich. It is because whatever you know is very little, and the whole dynamism of your creativity just explodes. And you start producing things which are very soothing, which are very beautiful, which makes everyone so happy. It's not some sort of a nonsensical thing, you do some queer thing just to please the people and show off that you are a brick designer and this and that. No. You do it natural, honest reproduction of what you feel. And that feeling is absolutely divine. And thus you produce really classical, beautiful things, which is very surprising how these modern children have taken to. Normally the modern art, as you know, is mostly understood by the artist himself. Nobody else can understand it, because they just go mad and do all kinds of things. In this also you may do modern art, means in the sense that you break all the lines and everything. But what you find, that whatever you do is extremely soothing and natural, one with the nature. And anybody who sees that will say, who has made this? Sort of a expression of a true feeling from within. Nothing artificial, nothing vulgar, nothing nonsensical. In the same way, musicians and other things in every art, I've been really amazed how Sergio has helped. I've seen this Sydney Sergio be singing to you these Marathi and Sanskrit songs and Hindi songs, which not even Indians can sing. They can't sing so well. I mean, if you hear them from outside, nobody will know they are people from Australia. They are Australians. As if some Indians are singing, it's very difficult. Indian singing is extremely difficult. People practice for years together to achieve this. Not only that they know it, but also so many of them know by heart, and I don't know how they have picked it up. I just don't understand. When they come and sing in India, even so many artists have said, now we are ashamed the way these people are doing it. At such a young age, how have they picked it so well? They sing in such beautiful unison. All these things happen to you. Secondly, it happens that so-called religions that you have, you follow. Somebody will say, I'm a Buddhist, somebody will say, I'm a Christian, I'm a Hindu, Muslim, anything. They can commit any sins, it's outward. It's just a label, like one girl met me and she was saying, I am born again. I said, you're not. You just label yourself as born again, you're not. Unless until you get your realization, you cannot be born again. And once you are born again, you get the quality of a personality who is born again, has so many powers, so compassionate, so peaceful. You are not. I said, you are in a delusion. She asked me, are you born again? I said, I am. Of course I am. And you can be also, if you want to. But if you want to carry on with artificial levels, what can you do? What good have they done to you? So the artificially drops out, and your real personality starts expressing itself as far as the religion is concerned. You become absolutely righteous. The other day I was reading about the genes and I was amazed to hear that the Asians have two genes to protect them, but the Western people have none. Now, the two genes that are within us. One is, I would say, comes from the mother, maybe the father, or the society, whatever it is. But one we call in Sahaja Yoga, sin against the mother and sin against the father. Out of which the left side, when we are there, we are sinning against the mother. Means we become immoral. We don't know what is morality. We start playing with things which we should not. Then we get into trouble, we get diseases, this, that, all sorts of problems, because there's no protection. So we are very vulnerable. All kinds of indulgences and all kinds of habits that we form, which are self-destructive, is sin against the mother. The another gene is the one that protects you against the sin against the father. And sin against the father is to be dishonest, to be corrupt, not to believe that God is your father. Why should you do all these things? So this kind of a sin also we start doing. Both these genes that are protective are created after Sahaja Yoga within you. And you just don't do wrong things. I've seen people from West, how they were. They gave up all kinds of nonsense. We never have the problem of somebody's wife running away with somebody, somebody's daughter running away with somebody, some rape and all that. It's out of question. We have thousands and thousands of surgeons, and they come together many a times. I've never seen them quarreling, fighting, have any violence or anything. So this, the sin against the father and sin against the mother, just is sort of established that they just don't do it. They dress up properly, they live properly, they don't take to drugs and they don't take to all these things. Now you know the progeny, how it is facing the effects of this modern life. Like, see, the children are left to dogs, they become so horrible. I've seen in Miami with my own eyes children who were only 12 years of age were carrying revolvers and were selling drugs, because the law is such that they do not punish 12 years old children in the jail. So people are taking advantage of these children and they are behaving like this. There are children who are killing their parents, there are parents who are killing their children. This kind of a violence is the sin against the father. So both ways, you see, if there's sort of a attack, what will happen to such a society? It's important one has to take to spiritual life. And the spiritual life of not outside, that you just go to church, sing some hymn number, this and that, and come home. It's not that. It has to be innate within yourself. You have to be honest. You have to be integrated with yourself, and then this innate religion will tell you that you belong to the religion which is a universal religion, which encompasses all the religions, which respects all the great incarnations, all the prophets, everyone. Every religion is a flower on the tree of life, of spirituality. But you have taken away that flower and you are fighting with the dead flower. This is mine, this is mine. You have no claims. And it's the dead flower which is now petrifying, and that's how you see in every religion what problems are coming. How people are suffering, how they are fighting, all kinds of things have happened. So people become, they say, we don't believe in God. They become atheists. When they become atheists also they are doing the wrong, and those who believe in God in such a way are also wrong. It's a blind faith. With Sahaja Yoga, I must tell you one thing, you shouldn't have blind faith. If you feel the experience of realization, then of course as honest people you must accept, respect it and go ahead with it and grow. But if you don't feel the experience, you shouldn't tell lies. You should come again and again, see that you get your realization. There are so many things, as I told you, I could tell you, but the only the attention part I've told you, that attention gets enlightened. And wherever you put your attention, it works, it helps. So in a way you start living collectively. You start feeling that you are part and parcel of one whole being. The microcosm becomes the macrocosm. A drop becomes the ocean. And that's how the whole world can become one day, and all these problems and things will go away. Because through Sahaja Yoga you know absolute truth. Everybody knows the same truth, no quarrel. As you are watching me, I'm sitting down here. All of you feel the same way about everything. So there are no discussions, no arguments, no fightings, nothing. And you really become a peaceful personality. You emit peace, as I told you. So, the highest thing is that you enter into the kingdom of God. Somebody told me today, Mother, the people don't know what is kingdom of God. So I said, they have to enter in to see. Unless and until I enter into this hall, how will I know what this hall is like? So once they enter into it, they write to me that, Mother, we are now in the kingdom of God. Because you start drowned into, you feel you are drowned into the ocean of joy. And joy is not double like happiness and unhappiness. Supposing you have, your ego is pampered, you feel very happy, I am such and such, I have got this. And if any it is punctured, you feel unhappy. But joy is singular. You are in that state from where you witness your life. In a one lecture program, I don't think I'll be able to tell you all about it. I must have given at least 4,000 lectures in only English language. So I have to tell you one thing, that today whatever is happening in Sahaja Yoga is the culmination of your evolution, culmination of all spiritual work that people have done, all the saints, prophets and incarnations, and is the last judgment for you, so that you enter into the kingdom of God. Sahaja means born with you. Sah is with, ja is born. Born with you is the right to become united, which means yoga, with this all-pervading power. It is your birthright, because you are born at this time. And this should happen. But after that, please remember that you might feel very great about it and you may just enjoy it individually, but it's not an individual growth. You have to come to our centers. You don't have to pay for it. Some people think that this is an introduction letter, so there's no payment. You can't pay for living thing. How can you pay? How can you pay for the seed which is planted in the Mother Earth? How can you pay to the Mother Earth or to the seed? It's all built in the same way it's built in you. Of course, formerly I used to come to Australia with my own money and all that, but now we have so many sahyogis that they want to pay for my travel. Maybe for this hall they might have paid, but you don't have to pay for your self-realization and all the knowledge of your being, inner being, your powers and everything. For that you don't have to pay. All these little expenses, which is very little, partly I should say, are taken over by so many sahyogis that you have. In Sydney itself you have lots of sahyogis. They told me there are 22 centers in Sydney. So you all can take a full advantage of it. But you must respect yourself. You must respect your self-realization. After all, you must be something special to get it. So please don't neglect it. There is no mesmerism to keep you attached to sahyoga. There is no other temptations but one, that you have to be one with this all-pervading power. And this kundalini is the pure desire, the power of pure desire. You are aware of it or you may not be aware of it, that you have only one pure desire, is to be one with this all-pervading power. Because all other desires, if you see, once they are fulfilled, they are of no importance to you. So it is said that in general, wants are not satiable. You never feel satisfied, but after this, complete satisfaction comes into you. And you start enjoying everything, enjoying other people, enjoying your own relations, enjoying the whole world. This is such a blissful time that you are born. Take full advantage of it and pay full attention to yourself and understand that just by labeling yourself as something, you do not become that. Do not fight for something that is artificial, but achieve something that is real. Thank you very much. I hope after 1 year again I'll come back here and meet you. By that time all of you will grow up like great trees of spirituality, giving such vibrations and realization, that power you will have, that you can give realization, you can cure people, you can help people. Some people who have never been orators have become great orators of sahyoga. And all over the world you have brothers and sisters who are sincerely yours. May God bless you. Thank you very much. I can't see the people. Can you ask them to put the light so that I can see the people? I can't see them.